Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Temura Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins toward the very top of Daf Chof Tes, the second line from the top. In our last discussion, we mentioned the issue of Muktzeh. In that shiur, we mentioned that Muktzeh was an animal that was unfit to serve as a sacrifice by virtue of the fact that it was set aside to serve as a sacrifice to an idol. Muktzeh means set aside, and in that case, set aside to serve as a sacrifice to an idol, hence rendering it unfit for a korban. And that was alluded to by a Xeris HaKosov, something, an allusion, a hint to it in the Psukim. Today's Gemara opens up with that topic, and as we mentioned at the tail of the last shiur on Daf Chof Ches, we read a Rashi over here where the Gemara opens up with a question of Minayin Lemuktzeh Min HaTorah, from where do we know Muktzeh is an issue in the Torah? However, at this point, the thinking is that Muktzeh means something other than what we described a moment ago. But rather, Muktzeh means that one has to set aside his sacrifice for the Almighty and not offer it immediately upon sanctification. But rather, there would be a sanctification and then a period at which it was set aside. And then, after that period, it would then be offered. However, this explanation is dismissed in the Gemara. And the Gemara then comes back and says, we're asking about from where do I know Muktzeh in the original sense? From where do I know that? Tosfos points out at the top, however, that it's a little strange that the Gemara would at all be looking for a source for the problem of Muktzeh when we already discussed that and offered sources for that on Daf Chof Ches. But that is left as it is. Now, after having given that introduction, we turn to the Gemara, second line from the top, Omer of Tuvi Bar Matona, Omer of Yoshia, Minayin L'Muktzeh Min HaTorah, from where do we know the idea of Muktzeh in the Torah? And at this point, as we said earlier, Muktzeh means setting aside of an animal in anticipation of it being offered, and not to sanctify and offer it immediately, but rather sanctify it, set it aside for a while, and then offer it. So, where do we know that from? Shenemar tishmeru lakriv li b'moado. Kol she'oisin loy shimur. Something that we do, shimur is a waiting, literally a watching of it. We watch it, we set it aside with a waiting period, after which it will then be suitable for offering as a sacrifice. Maskif lo abaye. Elomeata, well, based on this approach, Isis Imro Ditsumo, the lo ovid le shimur, if a person brought a famished sheep that had not been under guard for a while, Hochinami de lo chozu lehakrova, are you going to say that it would not be fit to be offered as a sacrifice? That's not true. A person could essentially find an animal, sanctify it, and offer it immediately. Elo Omar le ano tishmuak liv libemado kuamina. When I cited this posuk of tishmuak liv libemado, the emphasis is on the word li, that you set aside an animal, offering it to me, to offer me li veloli ladon acher, offering it to me, the Almighty, and not to some other master. V'ezehu odon achir shemakriv. Even though, what is an example of another type of master that one would offer things to? Havi omer zu avodas kechovim. That's a reference to offering to an idol. So that We look at the Rashi on the third, fourth narrow line. You see, li velo ladon acher, dehochi ko amino. This is what I originally intended. Minayin le muktzel of it is kachovim shalsim in haTorah. From where do we know that something set aside to be offered as a sacrifice to idols is forbidden in the Torah? And the answer to that is mehocha, from this pasuk. And as we mentioned, the Tosfos at the top says that it's a little odd that we're quoting this pasuk when we already had on Daf Chof Ches sources for this information. Continuing in the Gemara, as we look ahead, we see a slash mark at the end of the line indicating that that which follows is a new idea. We also have a new geometric form, the volcano shape or trapezoid. On the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have the Nosei is the topic and Mivneh structural note where we feature this trapezoid. And they are Deos Be'ad Mosai Hamukze Oser. When we speak about something set aside to serve as a sacrifice to an idol, up till what point will this animal be forbidden to use as a sacrifice? This explanation to this particular sugya really is one of two pshatim that one will find in Rashi. There is another pshat that Rashi gives, another explanation, which says that prior to a certain point, the animal will not be usher, but at what point does it become usher? At what point does it become forbidden? However, we're going to work with the second pshat that you find in Rashi, which he actually prefers, and it is until what point in time does it remain usher, after which it then becomes allowed to be offered as a sacrifice. Omar the Gemara, Omar Rovo bar Rav Ado, Omar Rav Yitzchok, ein muktze usher, elo ad shiav duboi. Muktze, something set aside to be sacrificed to an idol is usher, up till what point? Until at shiyav dubo, until it's used for work. Once it's used for work, it shows that they're not serious about using this as a sacrifice to their deity, and hence it loses its status of prohibition. Ulo Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, in this marking, we have, in addition to the volcano shape, we also have a diamond. This is explained on the outside margin as Shnei Deos Bedivrei Rabbi Yochanan, two opinions within Rabbi Yochanan. Ulo, and later Beha, another name. Ulo Amar Rabbi Yochanan says Ad Shim Tsuruhu Lekimrei Avodas Kechovim. An animal set aside to serve as a sacrifice to an idol is forbidden until it's given over to the priests for their own personal eating. At that point, when an animal is given over to the priests for their own meals, it shows that they're not interested in offering it as a sacrifice anymore. Beha Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Beha is a name, an unusual name, but Beha Omar Rabbi Yochanan says Ad Shiachiluhu Karshine Avodas Kochavim. Until they feed it, karshine is a type of food substance, of vegetation, until they fatten it up for the purpose of the priests. And at that point, there is no intention to use it as a sacrifice anymore. Omale Rabbi Abba Lebeha. Rabbi Abba asks Beha, the name we saw just two lines above, Maf Lugisu Atun Aula, are you arguing with Ula? Amale Loi. I'm not arguing with Ula. Ula Nami. Ula as well. Ki Ka'omar Hu. When Ula said, until they give it to the priests, Ki Ka'omar Hu. Dishofi Le Karshini Avodas Kechovim. The animal is given over to the priests for feeding, for fattening up the animal for their own purposes. Omar Rebbe Abba. Yoda Beha the Shnuye Shmaitza. Beha knows how to answer questions, how to explain his learning. The Eloi de Solik Mehosam Lo Havi Yoda. Had he not come up from the exile from Babylonia to Israel, he would not have known. He wouldn't have been skilled in his learning. The Eretz Yisrael Gormalei, the land of Israel, has a special feature to it that it enhances people's intellectual Torah abilities. We have a concept known as Aviro di Aro Machkima, the air of the land increases wisdom. Omale Rav Yitzchak, Beha Mikan Umikan Hava. Rav Yitzchak says that Beha was someone from both Bavel and Eretz Israel. Apparently, he spent time in both places. Toni Rav Chananya Trito Kamei Rav Yochanan. Chananya Trito, that's his name. He says to Rabbi Yochanan, he teaches the following source: Ein muktzah osur elo ad shiasu boy maisa. Muktzah is osur up till the point that something is done with it. Hu toni law v'hu omar law. Rav Chananya Trito said over this Tanaic source that you see in the frame, and he also explained. My maisa, what does it mean by doing something with it? Ad shigzos v'yavdu bo, until it's shorn or until it's worked with. In other words, at the point that an animal that had been set aside to serve as a sacrifice to an idol is then shorn or used in work, that's a sign that they're no longer interested in using it as a sacrifice to an idol, so it would lose its prohibited status. Ezehu ne'evad v'chulei. The Mishnah went on to say, v'zeh v'zeh mutar b'achila. The animals that the Mishnah featured as being prohibited to serve as a sacrifice to the Almighty, nevertheless, they are allowed for personal consumption. On the outside margin of our Gemara, you notice a topic heading, and we've written in Minayin Shemukta Venevad Mutar Lehedyon. From where do we know that Mukta, an animal set aside as a sacrifice to an idol, or Nevad, an animal worshipped as a deity, are actually permitted for a private person to slaughter and eat? In other words, the whole prohibition was only with regard to using them as a sacrifice to the Almighty. So the Gemara will answer, and we read our introduction. Meha deboinon min haboker min atzon lemait migavoha. From the fact that I need the pasuk to exclude from the Almighty muktzah v'nevad, the muktzah and nevad situations, simetru muter lehedyot. Delo boinon kro lemait migavoha mashikvar osur lehedyot. You wouldn't need a special pasuk forbidding something as a sacrifice if it were already prohibited for the private person to benefit from. The Gemara now. Mino hani mili. From where do I know that muktzah nevad are allowed for personal consumption? Omar Rav Papa, Yom Akra, the Pasuk says, Mimashke Yisrael. And from this Pasuk we learn that sacrifices are to be brought min hamutar li Yisrael, from something that is permitted for the common Jew to eat. The e salka daitoch asiri lehedyot. If you were to think that muktzah and nevad are prohibited to the common man, loma li kra lim atinu migavah. What do I need the pasuk of min habokor umin hatzon to exclude them as from being sacrifices? If they were prohibited to the person, to the private individual, Mashke Yisrael would have already been a sufficient source. At this point, we have a new geometric form. You notice a triangle with colored in tips, but as you scan ahead on the Gemara, you'll notice that the position alters. Notice on the outside margin, the Mivneh heading, so we have this triangle shape featured with a comment in parentheses, ma'akav, an attempt to keep track, and that is to keep track of the give and take style of this Gemara. With the point facing up, they represent kushios, questions, mi trefa. The basis of the questions will be the situation of an animal that's a trefa, that it has a type of organ or limb deficiency. The afal pi de osur lehedyo, this is an example of something that is forbidden for a common person to eat. A Jew cannot take an animal that has a hole in its lung, let us say, or is missing its leg up to its thigh, and slaughter and eat it. So it's something that's forbidden for a common person to eat, the trefa, that is. Nevertheless, our note reads that we still have a separate pasuk in the Torah banning it as a sacrifice. So the rule that we were just taught, that if it's usher for a hedyo, you wouldn't need a special pasuk to ban its use as a sacrifice, that doesn't seem to be true. Now, the Gemara. And wherever something is forbidden to the common man, lo boikra, you would not, are you suggesting you would not need a separate pasuk to ban it as a sacrifice? Well, here's the example of a trefa, the asiro lehedyot, it's forbidden to a common person, umiate kro migavoa, and there's a special pasuk that bans it as a sacrifice to the Almighty. Disanya, the Tanaic source in which this verse is cited, kishu omer min habokor lamato she'ein talmud lomar, when the pasuk says later on, bring sacrifices from bokor, I don't need to be taught that, because I know that sacrifices are brought from bokor being cattle. I know that from an earlier pasuk. So why does the Torah repeat, bring your sacrifices min habokor, elo lahotzi es hatrefa? This extra pasuk is here to signify the exclusion of a trefa. So what do we have? We have a special pasuk banning trefa as sacrifice, when we know that trefa is already prohibited to the individual, to the private person. So the Gemara answers, itzterich. I need a special pasuk by trefa. Sakadaito chamino hani mili. Had I not had this special pasuk, I would have thought that the prohibition of trefa is denutrefa v'achakach niskatsha, something that was initially trefa and then sanctified. Avol niskatsha v'achakach nitrefa ema tishrig l'gavoa. However, something that was initially sanctified as a healthy animal and the trefus set in later on, I might have thought that it should be allowed for the Almighty as a sacrifice. Hence, I need a special pasuk of min habokar to teach that even that case is prohibited. Now, don't forget, we're in the middle of a larger discussion, and Rashi points this out. If we look in Rashi, Emol Tishri, Lohochi Itzrich Min HaBokar, that's why I need a special pasuk of Min HaBokar to exclude this additional case of Trefa. Havol Gabi Muktzev Nevad, Trey Kroy Lomali. Regarding Muktzev Nevad, what would I need two psukim for? Ho Hikdishu. If you had a case of someone sanctifying an animal and then afterwards setting it aside or worshipping it, lo mitzar, it wouldn't have, the prohibition wouldn't have even taken hold. The lav didei hu, it's not his. Once you sanctify something, it becomes the realm, it becomes owned by the temple, the holy fund. The ain odom oyser double chain shalom. Person doesn't have the power to prohibit something that's not his. From the fact that the Torah had to exclude muktzeh enevad from use as a sacrifice, vaday lehedyot mishrashari. It's clear. It's a clear indication that it's mutter for the common man. So that in the general sugya, we were asking, from where do we know that muktzeh nevad are allowed for the common man? It is by virtue of the fact that the Torah takes special pains to ban them from use as a korban. Because if they were prohibited to the common man, then I wouldn't need an extra pasuk. That would have already been, the prohibition as a korban would have been covered by the pasuk Mashki Yisrael. And as opposed to treifa, in the case of muktzeh neved, I don't need two psukim because I'm not covering two cases, namely two cases in terms of order of events. Whereas by treifa, there are two cases by way of order of events. One case is where it became a treifa and then was sanctified, and the other case being sanctified and then becoming a treifa. The Gemara asks, V'ha mehocha nafka? Is treifa in fact learned from this, from min habokar? Kol asher yavor tachas hashevet, prat l'treifa she'ino veres. I have a separate pasuk to exclude treifa, namely this pasuk of kol asher yavor tachas hashevet means any animal that is capable of passing under the counting rod, which is a pasuk in the context of meiser behemah, which is an example of a sacrifice. It has to be capable of walking, and a treifa, one example of treifa is an animal missing its leg above its knee, and such an animal, if it's missing its hind leg above its knee, it would not be capable of walking under the counting rod. Anyway, that is a source for the exclusion of treifa. So, what do I need min habokar for? Answer, hahu nami itzrich. In fact, I need this additional pasuk for banning treifa. Sakadai tochanino hanimi lehecha delo hoy soloshasa kosher, denoldo treifa meima. I would have thought, had I not had the extra pasuk, that when is treifa a problem, when it's nolda treifa, it's born as a treifa, meimeima, from its emergence from its mother's womb. Aval hech doisu lo shasa kosher, but an animal that had a period of time that it was not a treifa, when is shasa kosher, when it was allowed, the yotsa virholam, and it emerged into the world, the achakach nitrefa, and later became a treifa, eimo, Tishtri Lagavah. I would have thought, by virtue of the fact that it had a moment in time when it was not a treifa, it should be allowed as a sacrifice. Komash Malon, therefore I need the extra pasuk. So now, at the end of the day, we have three psukim that in effect would ban treifa, prohibit treifa as a sacrifice. We've got Mashki Yisrael, that sacrifices are brought only from things that Jews can eat, and treifa a Jew cannot eat. We have min, we have kol asher yavor tachas hashevet, and we have min habokar. What is the role of each one of these sources? So now Rashi is kind enough to enumerate or to elaborate on that point. If you look at Rashi, a few lines down from here in the Rashi commentary, it's dericha, gimel, kroi, I need the three psukim. De'i mimashki Yisrael. In our Rashi, we've double underlined and numbered the three psukim. De'i mimashki Yisrael. Had I had that pasuk havamina dafke hechad nolda treifa, I would have thought only in a case where it's born already as a treifa. Dumya di orla v'kila kerem dechtiv vahu kra. Similar to the cases of orla and kila kerem, which are featured in the same pasuk dechtiv bereishe. It says at the beginning of that pasuk min hamosayim v'amrina b'psochim mimoisar shte meos shenish. This is not really too germane to our discussion right now, but it deals with the voiding in a mixture of something, one in 200. Mikan l'orla v'kila kerem shebetelim v'mosayim. V'chihechi d'orla l'hoysa l'shasa kosher. Just like orla, which is featured in the Mashke Yisrael Pasuk, is something. We're talking about fruits during the first 3 years of a fruit tree's life. The first 3 years of fruit production are prohibited. They're called orla. So that's an example of something that did not have a shasa kosher. Treifanami lo nafgalon mino elodenoldo treifa. As far as the type of treifa that's banned from sacrificial purposes, it would be a treifa similar to orla, a type of situation where it's born as a treifa, never having a shas hakosher. Ulahochi itzdericho kol asher yavor. I therefore need the kol asher yavor pasuk to include another case of treifa, the nitrofali achar leidosa v'achar kachitisha, an animal that was born healthy, only later became a treifa, and after that he thought to sanctify it, to dedicate it as a sacrifice. So Kol Asher Yavor tells us that case also would be prohibited. Umin HaBokar, also the third Moker, the third source, even a case where he sanctified a healthy animal, but before he offered it as a sacrifice, it became a treifa, that too is unacceptable. the Mishnah. The Ezu Esnan. We had mentioned at the beginning of our perek that an animal given as payment to a harlot for her services is something that would not be acceptable as a sacrifice. What is an Esnan? Ha'oimer lezoino, ha'leich tle ze bischarech. Take this sheep as payment for your services. Afilu hein kuf, kulon asurin. Even if they are 100, they are all asur. This phrase will be the subject of a Gemara discussion. V'chein ha'oimer l'chavero ha'olich tle ze v'tolin shivchoscha etzel avdi. Likewise, someone who gives his friend a sheep and says, I'm giving this sheep in payment for your bondmaid to have relations, with intimate relations with my male servant. That too, according to the Tanakhama, would be an esnan. And that sheep that was paid to to his friend, the owner of the shivcha, the owner of the bondmaid, that sheep would be prohibited as a sacrifice. Rebbe Oimer Eino Esnan. Rebbe says that that is not an example of an Esnan. The Chachamim Omrim Esnan. The Chachamim say that it is. Omar Mar. We now quote from the Mishnah. Vafilu hein mea kulon asurin. Hechi domi. What are the circumstances here? Ilema de shokla beagro mea behemos, if she takes as her fee 100 behemos. That is this harlot's fee. Well, pshita de kulo asiri. It's obvious that they're all forbidden. Mali chad mali mea. What difference does it make whether she takes as her payment one animal or she takes 100 animals? So what is the Mishnah talking about? Lo tzricha. The case is necessary, as to be taught, de shokla agro chada. Her actual fee is one animal. And this man who is seemingly overjoyed with his with regard to his experience with this harlot, he says, "V'yoyv lo mea." He gives her not just one; he gives her 100. It's a gift, an additional. In addition to her basic fee, he gives her extra animals. T'kulu mikach esnan ka'asi. The Mishnah reveals that the others are all coming as a result of the original fee, which was one behemoth, so that everything extra is just adding on the top, so to speak. So it's all viewed as a continuation, if you will, of the of her payment. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we have a topic heading under the Nosei. We have written Esnan Zoino, two situations. He had his intimacy with her and then gave her the animal, or nosan lo, or he gave her an animal, v'achakach bo oleho, and then had his relations with her. Tanu rabbanan, nosan lo velo bo oleho. This will be analyzed a little further in the Gemara, but we'll just translate it for right now. It says he gave her an animal, but he didn't have relations. Another case, bo olel velo nosan lo, where he had relations and didn't give her an animal, so esnena mutter, so the gift is allowed. Essentially, none of this makes any sense. And now the Gemara goes over it. The lettering that we have here matches the phrases in the source. Nosan lo velo bo olel, he gave her a gift but had no relations. So esnana koris le, you refer to this as an esnan, as a payment for harlotry. There was no intimacy, though. Vesu, and a further problem. The second phrase, bo olel velo nosan lo, says he had relations and he didn't give her anything. The Shita Mukubetsis adds a few words, my yohiv lo ho lo yohiv lo midi. What did he give her? He didn't give her anything. So what's to become also? What's to become prohibited? Elo hochi kotoni. Well, now we go back to the source that we had two lines before and reread it. Nosan lo, and don't read the lo bola, but rather the achakach bo'oleho. Sequence of events. He gave her a sheep and afterwards had relations. or Bo'aleha, he had his intimacy, V'achakach Nosan Lo, and then gave her the payment. Esnena Mutar. The Esnan, this gift that he gives her, the sheep that he gives her, is allowed. If that be the case, we're then going to have to figure out when is payment given to her for services, in fact, usur. According to this, if you have done things done in a sequential fashion, he gives her and then has relations, or has relations and then gives her, both cases, the animal will not be prohibited as a sacrifice. The Gemara regarding the first case, we wrote this above here, Amikre Aleph, regarding the first situation where he gave her something and then had relations, V'lechol oleo esnan l'mafreya. Why don't you say that the esnan status should take hold of this animal, which we're assuming is still around, when he has the relation? So at the point that he conducts the intimacy, why don't we say that that animal is now branded as an esnan? Omar Rebbe Elazar. So Rebbe Elazar answers, Shekidmo v'krivasai. Before the relations, after she received the animal, she hastened to offer it. The harlot offered this animal as a sacrifice. So the animal was offered as a sacrifice before the act of intimacy actually took place. So let's go over this again. Let's think about that. You have a man. He gives an animal to a harlot, presumably in anticipation of services. And if that assumption is correct, so how is it that she is going to be offering it as her sacrifice before she actually performs the services, or in other words, before she actually acquires it? One would think that in order for her to become the owner of it, she would have to be worthy of it, so to speak, by having performed her act to merit her receiving this payment. But if you're saying that she offered the animals a sacrifice before the intimacy, that requires some explanation. And here, under our... we have an introduction on the outside margin, the nosei, followed with a mivne, a structural note. As you go down the next few lines of Gemara, you'll notice the use of the double underline, and this is explained under our nosei heading. Hadikotani nosan lo ubo leo muter, that which the source said, that when he gave her the sheep and then had relations subsequently, the animal was acceptable as a sacrifice. That's because she offered it before the actual act of intimacy took place. Under the Mivne heading, the double underline represents Shlavim, stages. What do you mean she hastened and offered the sacrifice, the animal she received from the man, before the act of intimacy? So now the Gemara. If you say that he transferred ownership of the animal to her immediately, before any relations took place, he said, I want this to be yours. And he was makna. Kinyan is a clinching of a deal. He transferred ownership to her immediately. Pshita de mutter. I wouldn't need the Tanaic source to tell me that if those are the circumstances, that it's allowed. The ad kan lo bala. Up till this point, he hasn't had any relations with her. So if the case is where he gave her a sheep and said, it's yours from right this moment, of course she can go and offer it as a sacrifice. He hasn't had relations with her. V'ela, the Omar law, maybe, he told her, lo nikni lech ad shas bia. This is not to be yours until we conduct our intimacy. Well, if those were the circumstances, then mi matzi makrovole, would she be able to offer it as her sacrifice? In fact, no, it's not hers yet. Ish ki akdish es beis kodesh l'Hashem, Omar Rachmona. The Torah says that a person who offers something, it has to be ma beiso b'rishus. So just like one's house is his own possession, af kol b'rishus, so too anything that a person offers to the Beis HaMikdash must be his own. And according to circumstance number two here, it's not hers yet. Loi tzricha, the case of Nasa law, Yachakach Bo Olaha, is the Omar law, Lo Mikne Loch Ad Shasbia. He tells her, I don't want the animal to be yours until the intimacy. V'i mitzterich lech nikni loch me'achshav. If, however, you need it, if you have some type of pressing need for the animal as a sacrifice beforehand, so let it be yours from right now. The Rashi at the very top line says, V'itzrich lech shko me'achshav. If you need it, you really need it, so take it as yours from right now. Therefore, it is within her possession. And she can offer it. The came from the Omar law, since he had set her lo likni lech ad shasbia, since he did mention that also, that I don't want it to be yours until the intimacy. It's terich lashmin and the muter, that the Tanaixers had to tell us that nevertheless this will be allowed in kidmo v'akrivoso, if she hastened and offered it before the act of intimacy. The sakudaita chamino esnan have. I would have thought on my own that if these were the circumstances, then it would in fact be an esnan. So that's why we have the Tanaixers telling me that under these circumstances she has the power to offer it as her own, because of the second clause, second part of the phrase that he mentioned to her, V'insrich loch nikni loch me'achshav. Up to this point, then, we have Reb Elozer teaching us that the zona, the harlot, was able to sacrifice it, being that he gave her an option of using it immediately, and being also that it was already sacrificed before the intimacy took place. With that in mind, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading, and we've written She'ela. We're going to have a question now. Kodmo hazoino v'hikdishosomal. Let us say that the Zona didn't actually sacrifice it, but she sanctified the animal that this man gave her. Of what significance would her sanctification be, a sanctification that takes place before the act of intimacy? Boy, Reboshaya, kodmo v'hikdishoso mai. Notice we've used a dashed underline under the word hikdishoso. This is to contrast it with the dashed underline at the top line where it was v'hikrivoso, was actually offered, slaughtered and offered as a sacrifice. Here we're talking about the Zona who received the animal, and she merely sanctified it. What will be the fate, so to speak? Can it be used as a sacrifice, since she she dedicated it before the act of intimacy? Does the dedication somehow remove it from her realm and enable it to remain kosher, even though it's physically still around at the time the intimacy takes place? So the Gemara, upon hearing the question, Rav Hoshaya's question, the Gemara responds and says, Tifshot lei mida Reb Elozer. Why doesn't Rav Hoshaya resolve it from Reb Elozer's teaching? Diyama Reb Elozer. This is the Reb Elozer that we had circled at the very end of Omid Aleph. He had said, Kodma v'hikrivoso, and notice the arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Align this with the arrow at the top line, and you see, this is a quote from there. Reb Elozer said that if she had hastened and offered it as a sacrifice, it's acceptable because they hadn't had their intimacy at that point. But now from this we could infer, Hikrivoso hu deshari, talese b'shasbia, the offering of it, that means the slaughtering and the burning of what has to be burnt on the altar, all took place before their act of intimacy, so it wasn't stained, so to speak, and rendered forbidden because of the act of intimacy. It was already gone by that point. Avol hikdishaso deize b'shas b'yazer. Inferring from Reb Elozer's comment, you would come out with a negative result in the case of hers merely sanctifying it. In that case, she sanctifies it before the act of intimacy. However, it's still around when they commit their illicit act. And that would, in fact, stain the animal and render it or categorize it as an esnan. The Gemara says, if if you see here that Rebbe Shai is asking this question, and then saying, well, why did he ask it in the first place? Could he not have resolved it from Rebbe Elazar's halacha? Namely, could he not have inferred the answer from Rebbe Elazar's halacha? So we answer now why Rebbe Hoshaya asked his question. The Rebbe Elazar gufo kamibayalei. Rebbe Elazar's teaching itself is something that Rebbe Hoshaya was not sure about. And now the Gemara gives you the two sides, in other words, Rebbe Shai's point of doubt concerning Rebbe Elazar's teaching, and as a result of this doubt that he has, Rebbe Shai needed to ask his own question. So here the Gemara explains the element of doubt that Rebbe Shai had in Rebbe Elazar's teaching. Mi amrinon hikrivasoi v'ha lesei b'shas bia mutar, avul hikdisha b'shas bia osir. The Shita Mukubetzis, where we have a little star, and you can see across from here, a couple lines down, do we say, Hikrivaso, I'm reading now from the Shita Mukubetzis, do we say, Hikrivaso, Rebbe Elazar, the Mutter, that in the case where it was already offered, does Rebbe Elazar say it's acceptable, the whole Lese B'Shas Bia, because it's not around at the time of intimacy. It's been signed, sealed, and delivered, so to speak, by the time the Bia took place, Avol. Higdisha, in the case of sanctification, mere sanctification, and not yet offered, the Esau b'shas bia, it's still around at the time of the intimacy, therefore usher. Now we go back into the Gemara. The Shita simply elaborated, expanded the text that we have in the Gemara, making it a little clearer. So that's the first side of things, that maybe only in the Hikriva case is it allowed, but the Hikdisho case where the animal is still around at the time of the intimacy, it becomes labeled as an Esnan, Oidilma, or maybe a Svora piece of logic in the opposite direction. Kevon Disnan, since we have a teaching, Amirasa Legavar Kemisirasa Lehedyo, things that a person says by way of dedications to the Almighty, Gavoa means on high, to the Almighty, is tantamount to an actual transaction when you are dealing with a commoner. When I transact something with a commoner, I transfer it to his domain. So, Hikdishoso Mutter, in the case of sanctification, well, it's then transferred completely to the realm of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's allowed because it's no longer hers at the point she makes the dedication. And whatever happens afterwards, the intimacy that takes place afterwards no longer can have an effect on it because it's no longer hers. And the culture came hikrivaso. And if we were to take this approach that hikdisha is mutter, certainly in the case of her offering it, teku. So this remains unresolved as far as Rebbe Hoshaya is concerned. He doesn't know how to label the case of where the harlot is makdish it before the act of intimacy. Does it remain mutter or not? Continuing in the Gemara, we have a quote from that which we saw earlier in the Tanaic source on Omed Aleph at the bottom. Bo oleho v'yachakach nosan lo esnena muter, where a person had relations and then gave her after the relations the animal. In other words, at the point of the relations, the animal was not in her possession. So and then afterwards, he gave her the animal. The esnan, this animal that's given to her, muter, is acceptable as a sacrifice. In other words, the fact that it's a mere payment for services in the past is not enough to render it forbidden. But rather, we can see from here, and we may have been able to see this earlier, it would have to be a situation where the animal is in her domain while is extant in her domain when the intimacy takes place. In this case, it's not in her domain. The Gemara asks, Vahatanya, but do we not have a contradicting source that says, Bo oleha, v'nosan lo, he had relations with her and then gave her the sheep, v'afilu ad shneimasur chodesh, even 12 months later, esnena osur. The esnan is forbidden. The sheep would be forbidden. Notice we've dashed underlined the key words. Here it says osur, and the line before we dashed underlined mutter. Omar Rav Chonon bar Rav Chisda lo kashya. There is no contradiction between these sources. Ho, the Omar law, the source that said prohibited, is where he said to her, he bo'ali li b'tlezeh, have relations to me in exchange for this animal. And he points to a specific animal. The Omar law, he boali li bitle stam. He says, have relations in exchange for a sheep, not pointing out which one. The feeling is, therefore, that when he says bitle ze, since he mentions which one it is, he identifies it, so it's considered in her possession at the time that the intimacy actually takes place. The Gemara asks, "Tle ze, why is that forbidden?" But she didn't draw it. He simply labeled it. He pointed to it, but she didn't take it. Meshicha is an act of pulling or drawing into her possession. So the Gemara answers, "Well, the case here is bezoina ovedes kechovim de lo kanya b'meshicha. We're talking about a harlot that is an idol worshiper. She's a Gentile, and therefore Gentiles acquire things without the act of Meshicha. Meshicha is not an act that we anticipate a Gentile doing. Therefore, she gains acquisition at the point that they agree that services will be rendered in exchange for this, and he specifies an animal, and at the point that the intimacy takes place, so it becomes hers, even without Meshicha. The Iboy Seima, Filu Bezoinu Yisraelis. Another approach is that we can be talking about a Jewish harlot, and in that case, you'll be asking then, but so what, that he said that services will be for this particular animal, but she didn't do, we don't see Meshicha, we don't see her having drawn it. So to that, we explain, Kigon Dekoi B'Chatzera, it's in her, the animal is already standing in her yard, her chotzer, and we know that items that are in someone's domain, in someone's on someone's property, assuming it's a fenced piece of property, one's property can acquire things on his behalf, on her behalf as well. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara asks, Ha Yavis Lo Meikara. If it's in her chaser, then in effect he has given it to her at the outset. So if it's given to her at the outset, why? How can that be a description of a case of bo'alel v'achar kach nosan lo? The term achar kach is not appropriate. Achar kach means an afterwards he gave it to her. But if it was standing in this zono yisraelis as chaser from the outset, It was already hers. So how is this an explanation of that case of bo'olel v'achar kach nosan lo? Answer: the shavya lo apotiki. The sheep in question he had designated as an apotiki. An apotiki is a type of, we'll say, backup or guarantee form of payment. The omar lo, and he said to the harlot, im ad yoim ploni yahivna loch zuzi mutav. We're going to have relations, and he says, if I don't, before he has relations, he says to her, if I don't pay you cash by a certain date, then if I pay you cash by a certain date, then mutav, then good, the imlav, and if I don't, then tle be'esnanech, then this sheep will be your payment. We take a look at the Rashi. Ad yom ploni shaklis lech kach v'kach. If until a certain day you'll get payment this and this amount. V'i lo shakli le. And if not, then you'll take this. Hilkoch ki motu. When the day comes that he designated for payment, v'lo yohiv lo zuzi, and he didn't give her cash. Igloi milsa the dido havoi b'shas bia. It then becomes clear retroactively that this animal was hers at the time of the intimacy, and that helps to explain the source that said bo'alel the nosan lo. It's the estan is osir. Umiu achar kachu. Just a very technical note that in the source that featured Osir, we didn't see in our text the Loshon, the expression of Acharkach. Maybe Rashi had this as part of his text in that second Tanaic source where it said Osir. So assuming that Rashi's version of the text was Bo'alel V'Acharkach Nosan Lo, and then Afilu Ad Shnei Moser Chodesh Esnena Osir, that the word Acharkach actually appeared there, so then this would make a lot of sense. Umiu, Rashi continues, Acharkach, who it's still called Acharkach, the ha lo havi dido, the sheep doesn't really become hers, Adamoti Yom Ploni, until that future date arrives, and he hadn't paid. The Itzrich Lashmina the Osir. And under these circumstances, we need to be taught that it's Osir, because of this retroactive element that tells us that in the event that he didn't pay her the cash at that later date, it retroactively became hers from the outset. So that you have a case of the animal that was in her possession at the time of the intimacy. This is all in contrast with the first source that says if he conducted intimacy and then later on, and literally later on, gave her a sheep, the sheep would not be prohibited. As you notice, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that which follows is a new idea. The title heading, under our Nosei marking at the outside margin, you can see the Nosei Mivne, where a diamond appears, Machlokis Rav V'Levi Im Esnan Ishto Nido Osir. A nida is a woman that every healthy woman has a monthly female cycle during which she is prohibited to her husband for intimacy. What is the law if a man gives his wife while she's a nida a sheep in order to have relations with her? Omar Rav. Echod esnan zohar ve'echod esnan kol arayas osir chutz mi esnan ishto nida. If a person gives an animal for all kinds of forbidden acts of intimacy, whether it be esnan zohar, is what we would call a homosexual relation, or esnan kol arayas, any other of the forbidden relatives in the Torah, a mother, a sister, a father's a sister, etc. Any of those forbidden relations, if a person were to give them a sheep or an animal that's sacrificially worthy, that animal would become forbidden as an esnan zona. One exception would be one giving his wife, who is a nida, such a gift. My time, Zona Ksiv, Vaha Lav Zona Hi. The word Zona appears, and relations with one's wife when she is in a Nida state does not categorize her as a Zona. The term Zona is often translated as a harlot, or Lady of the Night, but you can see from this Gemara that it has broader ramifications. It's certainly all types of relations that are prohibited could end up making the woman categorized as a zona. However, relations with one's wife, though she's in a nido state, that would not categorize her as a zona. Hence, the pasuk that says "Lo sovi esnan zona mechirkelo beis Hashem Elokecha" would not apply because it's a gift for zona and not ishto nida. The Levi Omar. Levi disagrees with Rav and says "Afilu ishto nida." Even one's giving of a sheep to his wife in her nida state for relations is also labeled at esnan and prohibited. My taimo. Why does Levi say this? Toyeva ksiv. in the same pasuk that speaks about Esnan Zona, the word To'eva also appears. And you will notice that we've provided for your convenience on the inside margin this pasuk. It's from Dvarim Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes. It reads, Lo Sovi Esnan Zona Michrkele Beis Hashem Elokecha L'chol Neder Ki To'avas Hashem Elokecha Gam Shnehem. So the word To'avas or To'eva appears. And it appears in the context of Esnan Zona. V'ha to'eva hi. The Ishto Nida is classified as to'eva. And how do we know that? So the Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yudches Pasuk Chavtes, a section in the Torah which deals with all forbidden relations, it mentions Nida, and a concluding pasuk says, "Es kol ha-to'evos ha'ele." So the word to'eva is a term associated, amongst other things, it's associated with Nida. So even though the Ishto Nida is not called Zona, but nevertheless, she is called to'eva. The literal translation of to'eva is something that's abominable. Now, we continue in the Gemara. The Levi Nami Vahoksiv Zona. Well, what does Levi do with the term Zona? The term Zona would seemingly have excluded Ishto Nida from being classified as a case where the sheep would become forbidden. Omar Loch, Levi answers, Hahi, the word Zona there is Zona velo Zone. That means that if she were to pay the man, you have a woman paying the man a sheep for relations, that would not become forbidden. V'rav, hahi, zona velo zone minole. Where does Rav learn that point from? Understanding that Rav had learned from zona the exclusion of nida. So where does Rav learn this point of she paying him does not make the animal prohibited? Nafkalei, the Gemara answers, the Rav will learn that point from Rebbe's teaching. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source in which Rebbe appears. Rebbe Omer, Ein esnan oser elo kol esnan habois loy ba'avera. The only esnan that is from esnan, a gift, if you will, that which is given, it does not become prohibited as a sacrifice, except for unless it is something that comes through sin. That's called esnan habos lo bavera. Now Rashi says habos lo bavera. Now here we have to be careful not to limit ourselves to literal translations. But what is habos lo bavera? Rashi says she'ein l'chol tzad heter bo, a type of relation where there's no possibility or no angle of permission. Avol ishto nida, one's own wife, though she be in her nida state. The mutar bo lacharzman, after her period of nida passes, after the menstruacy passes, oy shenosan lo. So let's go over that again. Ishto nida is an example of a woman that's his own wife is mutar to him after a little while. Oy shenosan lo lezoina schar pkiosa, or if he pays a harlot a fee, not a fee for the relations per se, rather schar mashe botlo mimalachto velo schar bi. He says to her, "Listen, I want to have relations with you, and I want to pay you for your lost time." In other words, if this woman were, let us say, getting paid by the hour for some kind of job that she performs, and he says to the woman, "What's your hourly wage? By being with me, you're going to be losing out that hourly wage. Let me compensate you for your work loss, your time loss." That's called schar hafko. And that's it. We go back into the Tanaic source, Ishto Nida, or Beis, the second example, Vishenosan lo schar lahafka osa. A third example, Vishenos no loy be'es nano, or, and we've dashed underlined this because this is the reason we brought this source in, where she pays him for being together. then mutarin. Afalpi she'ein raya ledover, even though there's no explicit source indicating this, zecher ledover, there is a hint to it. The pasuk says, uvesitcho esnan, the esnan lo nitan loch, pati lahefech. This pasuk indicates the man giving an esnan to the woman, and not him receiving the esnan, because his receiving of the esnan pati lahefech would be the opposite. In other words, that would not be prohibited. The Rav Hai To'eva Mai Ovidle. What does Rav do with the To'eva word? Now, just to review, we saw Levi using the To'eva expression, and you'll notice a little arrow that we have to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you go up a few lines, you'll see another arrow pointing to a line in Gemara where you see To'eva appearing. That's where Levi cited To'eva as a basis for paying Ishto Nida with an animal and it becoming prohibited. Rav, however, says that paying Ishto Nida, one's wife, when she's in her Nida period, does not make it Aser. What does Rav do with the To'eva word? Answer, Miboya Le Kida Abaye. He needs it for Abaye's teaching. The Omer Abaye. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form we call the crown shape. You'll notice in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, this crown shape appears. Machlokes Abaye V'Rova. If you just skip a little ahead in the Gemara, you'll see Rova appears later on also in this crown shape. So we have a controversy between Abaye and Rova. Be'inyan Zoina Akum Yisraelis. We'll be speaking about a Zona that is an idol worshiper and a Jewish one. Esnan shel mi oser, the gift given to which one of these women becomes prohibited as a sacrifice. Al eze mehen kohen loike mishum zoina. The Torah prohibits a kohen marrying a grusha, a chalola, and a zona. The Torah prohibits a kohen from marrying and having relations with a woman who is labeled zona. Well, which one of these will which one of these is that which the Torah prohibited? And in the event that the kohen goes ahead and violates a negative Torah ruling, he will be liable to lokeh, meaning malchus, liable to a punishment of lashing. Which one of these kind of women will generate that prohibition and penalty? So now, the Gemara. We are asking, what does Rav do with To'eva? So we answer, he needs it for that which Abaye teaches. The Omer Abaye, Zoina Oivedes Kechovim. We should also note that we have this double underline with dots in it, highlighting these two kinds of women, a Zoina Oivedes Kechovim and a Zoina Yisraelis. So the Abaye says, Zoina Oivedes Kechovim, Esnena Oser, an idol worshiper, harlot, a Gentile woman who's a harlot, the gift, or the payment given to her, is, if it's an animal type payment, becomes forbidden as a sacrifice. Mai taima. Why is that? Ksiv hacha to'eva, uksiv hasam, ki kol asher yase mikol hato'evos ho'el. So you have the word to'eva in the context of the esnan, and also in this other pasuk that says ki kol asher yase mikol hato'evos, which is a pasuk in the parsha of Arayas, in parshas Achrimos in Sefer Vayikra, which features all kinds of forbidden relatives. Ma lahalon Arayas shein kedushin tovsin bo. Just like all over there, you're dealing with a list of relatives where if one were attempt to create a marital bond, it wouldn't take hold. In other words, if a person turns to his mother and says he gives her money and says, with this money I want to marry you, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't take hold. A mother and son cannot wed with one another. That's called Ein Kedushin Toivsin Ba. So just like over there, the term To'eva is used in the context of all kinds of women where there is no Tfisas Kedushin, so too the word To'eva, in the context of Zona, is a reference to that kind of woman where there would be no Tfisas Kedushin. Hachinami, here too, by the Zona, She'ein Kedushin Toiv Sinba. And what is that? That would be a Gentile woman. A Jewish man and Gentile woman do not form a marital bond. It doesn't take hold. In fact, the term intermarriage is almost a misnomer because it's a fiction. It doesn't take hold. Therefore, Abaye understands that the type of woman featured in the Esnan Zona Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Yutes, where the animal is labeled as prohibited as a sacrifice, it has to be a Zona harlot that is Gentile. Continuing, V'kayin Shebo Olel, Ein Loike Olel Mishum Zona. Abaye goes on with a second point, hence we've labeled these as Aleph and Beis with the dashed underlining. Kohen who has relations with her, with a Zona Ovedes Kochavim, he will not be guilty of lashes because this is not the Zona that the Torah banned a Kohen from being with. My taima, why is it that the Kohen is not considered in violation of what the Pasuk says? And by the way, the Pasuk we have on the side of our Gemara, Perek in Vayikra Chof Aleph, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Yudalid, it says, Almona Ugrusha V'chalolo Zoino Es Eile Lo Yikach Ki'im Besula Me'amo V'yikach Isha. That is a Pasuk, technically speaking, it's by the Kohen Godol, and the next pasuk says, "V'lo yichalel zaro ba'amov ki ani Hashem mekadshoi," and he should thereby not desecrate his seed, his offspring, by being with any of these women. So, that having been said, we see pasuk tes vav following pasuk yudalid, and we learn from this. The Omar Kro, our Gemara goes on to say, "Lo yichalel zaroi," the zona featured as being prohibited to the Kohen Gadol, is a type of woman that would have ruined his seed. Mi shezaro miyuchas acharov. When we say his, zaro is a word in the possessive. His, meaning the Kohen Gadol's offspring. What type of offspring is considered his? Miyuchas acharov means it's associated with him. That's only if you're dealing with a Jewish woman where a marital bond could have taken place. Though, if it's in sin, so it's considered a ruination. But nevertheless, it's considered his seed, his offspring. To the exclusion of a Gentile woman, where the child is not considered his at all. We're not dealing, of course, with biology, but we're dealing with Jewish legal application, Jewish legal standards. And we know that the child of a Jewish man bonding, mating with a Gentile woman is called her son. It's not called his son. So that, and it should be understood and be made very well known that a Jewish man that has children with a Gentile woman, with a non-Jewish woman, the child is not Jewish. We don't call him half Jewish. He is simply called not Jewish. Of course, there is an option for conversion to take place, but in the event that conversion takes place, the convert is considered a new entity, a new human being. And technically speaking, if he converts, it's as if he doesn't have parents because he's considered a new entity. So, back to our topic, the Torah, which warns against a Kohen Gadol bonding or mating with a Zona, it would only be that kind of Zona that if he bonds with her, if he mates with her, the children would be considered his. However, they would be called violated children. It was Chalolim, Lo Yechalel Zaro. But nevertheless, they are considered his. That is to the exclusion of Kohen Gadol mating with a Gentile woman, where, as a rule, the children in that case are not considered his to begin with. Abaye continues teaching, Zona Yisraelis. You'll notice we now have 2 points, Aleph and Beis, and they basically serve as the mirror image of what Abaye was saying regarding the Zona of Eretz Kechovim. Zona Yisraelis esnena muter. A Zona Yisraelis, the gift given to a Jewish woman of ill repute, would be fit as a sacrifice. Matam, why is that? The whole Kedushin Tov Sinba. Because it's an example, she is someone that he, in theory, could have married. The marital bond would have taken hold had he decided to marry her. She was eligible for marriage. The Kohen Shebo Oleha Loike Mishum Zona. A Kohen who has relations with a Zona Yisraelis, he will be guilty of lashes. My time, the ha zar oy miyuchas acharov. Relations with her would have resulted in children that are associated with him. The Rova Omar, echodze the echodze, both Jewish and Gentile, esnena osir, the sheep or the animal given to her as payment for services will be forbidden as a sacrifice. And a Kohen that has relations with either one of these kinds of Zonos will be guilty of lashes. My taimo. How does Rava come to this conclusion? Why is that? Yalfi mehadodi. One is learned from the other. Which we call through a ma motzinu method, just like we find by one, we apply to the other, as is explained. Ma zoino yisraelis belav, just like relations with a zona of a Jewish that is Jewish is a negative command. Af zona ovedes kechovim belav, so too relations with the Gentile woman will be a negative command, and as such. A negative command, the violation thereof results in lashes. Uma esnan zoyna v'des kechovim osir, and just like the payment given to a Gentile woman is for the sheep that's given to her is forbidden. And this is something we saw before from the term to'eva, from which we learned you're dealing with a woman where there's no tfisas kedushin, but Rava says we use a ma motzinu and compare one to the other. So just like the payment given to the zoyna v'nis kechovan is forbidden, af esnan zoyna yisraelis osir, that too will be forbidden, the payment given to a zoyna yisraelis. Meisve, the Gemara now raises a kasha on Abaye. We have a Tanaic source in which it says Echad Zoyna Ovedes Kechovim Ve'echad Zoyna Yisraelis Esnena Osir. Notice with our markings we've dashed underlined Yisraelis and the word Osir, and we're talking about the status of an Esnan. What did Abaye say about the payment given to a Zoyna Yisraelis? Well, if you just scan back a couple of lines, you'll see where the double underline with dots in it under Zoyna Yisraelis, Roman numeral number 2, under Abaye, he said the payment given to her, Esnena Muter. Here we see Usser. Tufta da Abaye. Should we conclude, therefore, that this is a repudiation of Abaye? Omar loch Abaye. Abaye answers, Ha money. Rabbi Akiva he. Now, let us point out that from here till the Gemara on the top of the next Omid, there is quite a discussion in the Meforshim regarding the accurate girsa, how the text should read. And as we go along in our shir, we'll be using some comments made by the Shita Mekubetzis as we go along. So beware that it's not necessarily a smooth read in the Gemara just by looking at the printed words as they are. So, bearing all of this in mind and trying to navigate simultaneously with the Shita Mekubetzis, we, in so far, presented a source that seemed to repudiate Abaye because it mentioned that the Esnan given to a Zona Yisraelis is usher when Abaye said that it would be allowed. So Omar lo habayi. Now at this point, at the end of the line, we've written above to look at the Shita Mugbetzis where you see a double star. This is found in the lines under the Gemara text. You'll notice around eight, nine lines down into the Shita Mekubetzes, where we have a double star, and we'll pick up there for the time being in the Shita. Omale Abaye. Abaye says back to those challenging Abaye from this Tanaic source. He says, Ki Kotoni Ha, this source is talking about Barayas Shein Kedushin Toysin Bohen. It's talking about those kind of women, forbidden women, that marriage would not take hold. Now, true to Abaye's ruling above, he said that the Zona of Eretz Kechovim, the Esdan, is also because of the term To'eva, which led us to compare it with the Parsha of Arayas of women where marriage doesn't take hold. So in this Tanaic source, which was raised as a challenge to Abaye, mention of Yisraelis was mentioned. Yes, Yisraelis is mentioned, but it's a type of Yisraelis, of Jewish woman, where a marital bond could not take place. And of course, Abaye would say that is, in fact, another example of Esnan. Continuing in the Shita Mekubetzes, V'ha Kotoni Seifa, the end of this source, however, reads, and the Shita Mekubetzes has a v'chule in it. You can look in the Gemara itself. On the bottom line of the Gemara, there's a framed section. The framed section is the Seifa. It's the continuation of the framed section that we had finished reading here on the first of the widest lines. It says in the Seifa, now, reading from the last line of the Gemara, it says there, Almona l'koyin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'koyin hedyot, esnema oser. A widow married to a kohen gadol, or a grusha v'chalutza, a divorced woman, or a woman who received chalitza. If a kohen gadol approaches an almona and tries to offer her an esnan, a gift, for intimacy, or a common kohen, a regular kohen, offers a divorced woman or a woman who had participated in the chalitza ceremony, that animal would become usher. And now, continuing in the Shita Mekubetzes, Vehani Tafsi, in those cases, a marital bond would take hold. In other words, if a Kohen Gadol would attempt to marry a widow, or a Kohen Hedyot would attempt to marry a Grusha, there would be Tfisas Kedushin. The Chayve Lavin Ninhu, as we continue reading in the Shita, those are prohibited, but only as negative commands, and not types of relationships like those mentioned in Vayikra Yudches, which could result in either kores or misas based in death at the hands of the court, or the kores penalty. V'afilu hachi kotoni bereisha achas zoyna v'edis kechavim v'achas zoyna yisraelis esnana oser. And still it says that the gift given to the zona yisraelis, and we see that the source, when it speaks about zona yisraelis, is not like Abai attempted to answer. You're talking about women that the marital bond does not take hold. That's not true. This source, with its reisha and seifa, in the seifa we see that we're talking even about women where the marital bond could have taken hold, and still the esnan is aser, the kashya l'abaye, and that would represent a problem for Abaye. Because Abaye said that a gift you give to a zona Yisraelis, it does not become usher. Here we have a source saying gift given to zona Yisraelis, it does become usher. The term, maybe we should be clearer, when we say gift, we're really referring to payment for services of intimacy. So the Shita Mekubetzes continues, Ha Moni Rabbi Akiva. And at this point, you can go back to the to our Gemara text, where we have a house form, at the second of the widest lines at the beginning, you see a little house form, and in the outside margin, the house form represents Shnei Lishonos, two versions, Shel Tshuvas Abaye, as far to serve as Abaye's response, Lekushi Shehikshulov Me Abraiso Echot Zona, as his responses to the question that we asked on him from that Tanaic source that read Echot Zona Eskhom Echot Zona Yisraelis Esana Oser. So at this point, how is Abaye getting out of the problem? So we continue reading in the Gemara text at the beginning of the second widest line, Ha Mani Rabbi Akiva Hi. This Tanaic source is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'chayve Lavin. Rabbi Akiva has a unique approach to issues of marital bonds. He says that not only with regard to very serious moral offenses, like those of bonding with one's mother or sister, which are, we'll call them bonds which would carry a heavy penalty, Mises Beisdin and Kores, but even those types of relationships that are forbidden only as negative commands, those two, if a man attempts to marry such a woman, it would be an example of Ein Kedushin Tofsin. V'ha Komash Malon, and this source is telling us, the Cholzoina Lo Tafsi Ba Kedushin, Dumya Dalmona the Lo Tafsi Ba Kedushin, that in order for something to be classified as an Esnan Zona, we have to talk about a zona that's like a case of almona l'kohen gadol. Just like almona l'kohen gadol, according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no tfisas kedushin, so to the zona that would result in the payment given to her as being then prohibited, a sacrifice would have to be a type of zona where there would be no tfisas kedushin. Now, ula rava, according to Rava, though, who made no distinction between the Zona Israelis and the Zona Venus Kechavim, my shno de kotoni kegoin amono lekoin gadol, what is the significance in this source of its featuring a kohen gadol, a high priest, giving a widow an animal as payment for her services? What's the significance of that case? So what does Rava learn from that reference in the Tanaic source? Again, Rava doesn't make any distinction between Kedushin Tofsin Ba and Ein Kedushin Tofsin Ba. Answer, Dumya da Almona. Similar to Almona, what do we mean? Ma Almona lo loki ad masri ba. If a Kohen Gadol attempts to have relations with an Almona, and then we'll talk about his getting lashes, he won't get lashes until he receives a warning. We don't give court punishments unless there is a warning, some type of speech, some type of warning that goes ahead beforehand. And once again, we have a note here to look in the Shita Mekubetzes where we have a triple star. We're looking here in the Shita about four lines from the end of the Shita commentary. Lo loki kohen gadol habo leho af esnan zoino mistamo lo mitzar. So to the animal given to the zona doesn't become usher on its own ad omar lo behedyo, until the man says to the harlot, ha loch esnan, take this as a payment for services. Avobistamo, without a formal statement, take this for services, matona ve'almohavio. It would be a simple gift. Delav zonohi b'chada be'ila. Through an initial act of intimacy, she is not yet a zona. Bistamo. Udolo k'rebelozar. And not like Rebelozar, not like his take on these things. Avol hecho de zona meikorahi. However, if you're dealing with a woman that already had gained the zona status, a woman who gained that by having already gone through illicit relations, the rova nami osir. The even according to Rava, the gift given to her without any formal statement would have become forbidden. Ve'esnan zona b'stamohi. Vafilu Panuya, even if you're dealing with a woman who's not married. This, as we're understanding now, is where a woman had already experienced intimacy in a forbidden fashion, even if you're dealing with an unmarried woman. So now let's turn back to the Gemara. We are looking at the Gemara four lines from the end of the page. We ask, what does Rava do with the reference to Kohen Gadol L'Almona? So the Gemara says, just like lashes given to a Kohen Gadol for relations with an Almona do not take place until there is a hasra, a warning, a verbal statement made to the Kohen, Avzona, so too with regard to the sheep or the animal given to a Zona, Ada Omar Lo Halach Esnan. Here, this is your Esnan, this is your payment for services. Vafuke Midir Rebbe Lozer, this is in contrast to the approach Rebbe Lozer takes, Yom Rebbe Lozer, Poni Havala Punuya, two single people, male, female, singles, that have relations, Shalola Shemishus, that their purpose is not for marriage, it's just to, we'll call it a fling, Asa'a Zona, that makes her into a Zona. In other words, according to Rebbe Lozer, as we understood things from the Shita Mekubetzes, even beforehand, if you have a single, two singles getting together, and he gives her an animal for these services, that would become labeled an esnan. Aval hecha de zona meikora. However, if you're dealing with a woman that already had achieved zona status, hachinami de osir, the animal would become osir, as we saw in the Shita Lumetzes, even without a formal statement that this is payment for your services. Because in such a case, you're giving something to a woman who's already labeled as a zona. Lishna achrina, another version of how Abaye responds to the question that was raised on his position. Ki kotoni ha, the source from which we asked the question, namely from the source that we saw in the first of the widest lines, Echad Zoynos Kechov, Echad Zoynos Reilis, the mention was made of a Zoynos Reilis and the Esnan being also, which would have run counter to Abaye. He says, that is talking about Ha Barayat Shein Kedushin Toivsin Ba. That's talking about illicit relations where the marital bond could not take hold in the first place. And that is fine. That's in accordance with Abaye's approach to the matter. The Gemara asks, "V'ha katoni seifa," but the end of that very source says, "Almona l'kain gadol gushul chutzul kain hedyot esnena aser v'ha hani kedushin tofsin bohen." The examples of a kohen gadol with an almona or a standard kohen with a grusha and a chalutza, these are man-woman relations where the marital bond, though it might be forbidden, it nevertheless takes hold. That's called kedushin tofsin bohen. So you see that the source is not limited to Jewish women were in Kedushin Tovsin Ba, but the source deals with Jewish women that Kedushin Tovsin Ba, and still the Esnan is Aser, and that is a problem for Abaye. So the Abaye answers, Ha money, this source is Rebbe Elazar he. The Omar Ponui Haba al Hapnuya Shalolishum Ishus Asa Zona. Rashi at the top says, at the top of Daf Lamed Omid Aleph, Rebbe Lozer he, the Omar Ponui Haba, Beilas Znus Korizona, a simple act of intimacy, a one time act of intimacy is already labeled as Zona. Hilkoch Esnan Nami Osir, the Esnan Zona Karino Bay. That is called, even a one time fling is called, she is called a Zona. And the Ano says, Abaye, the Amri Ki Rabbonon, I go like the Rabbonon. So that the source that was attempted to was used as an attempt to question Abaye's position, Abaye says that source is in accordance with a Tanaic school of thought that I don't agree with. And just reading that line again, we said that it's according to Rabbi Lozar at the top of Daf Lamed, the Omar Ponui Haboa Pnuyo Shalolu Shum Ishus Aso Ozona. But I hold like the Rabbonan. The Gemara asks, E Rebbe Lozar, if the source is taught in accordance with Rebbe Lozar, my Iriya Amona Nisni Pnuya, why does it feature as an example of that which becomes an Esnan, and hence forbidden as a sacrifice, the case of Kohen Gadol with an Almona? It could have taught just any single man with a single woman. The animal given to her for services will be usher. Why take the case of Almona L'Kohen Gadol? Answer, Almona, it's the reef. I need to teach the case of Almona. Because without it, Salka Daita Chamina, Hayil Ubinyan Avhu, Lo Nitziru. Since this is Binyan Av, and we'll have to explain this in a minute, so I would have thought that in that case it wouldn't become Osir as an Esnan. Chomash Malon, the source has to emphasize in the Seifa that even the case of Almona with Kohen Gadol does make that which she is paid an Esnan. Now we have to look in the Rashi on the second line from the top, Binyan Avhu. E Nokat Pnuyo, had the source cited, since it's a Rebbe Lozer source and it had used the example of single man with single woman, Hava Amino, I would have thought Pnuyo in, that only in this case does it become forbidden as a sacrifice. The Leko Isura, because there is no other prohibition. Avol kol esnan shel isho asurlo, but gifts or payment given to women who are any way forbidden, lo nitzar. Maybe the animal should not become forbidden. The hoksiv bikra zona. The pasuk uses the word zono, stam zona, hainu beponui upnuyo, the Rebbe Lozer. When you're dealing within the constellation of Rebbe Lozer's mindset, the term zona automatically points to ponui haboa pnuyo, to two single people getting together in a non-marriage intimacy. So being that the simple use of the word zona would ordinarily lead me or point in that direction, I would not have known that money paid by a kohen gadol to an almona would, not money, but an animal paid to an almona by a kohen gadol, I wouldn't have known that too is called esnat zona. Therefore, I need the Tanaic source to emphasize that point, that too becomes an esnan zona. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.